This has been a trying month, as you might imagine. This is the month of the of a lot of changes. There's a lot of stuff that's been happening behind the scenes, and a lot of stuff that's going to be happening. You're going to be starting to see a lot of it. This is the last time we are in our month-long break away from being on in the Tacoma, Seattle region, and I'm building and building and building and building, and I always seem to be running out of time. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me today is Dave Brulette. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Fantastic. And Becky Friedman, how are you?
Nice to be back. I'm doing well.
Great. Yeah, you haven't been on in a while.
I haven't been on in a while. We had a lot of FaceTime during our streamathon last week, which was pretty successful and fun, but it's nice to be back on the radio.
Yeah, I should probably talk about that. We only have one person who met Peggy's Challenge this week, and that's Ronnie from Denmark.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Yeah, and if you'd like to meet Peggy's Challenge, you can go to askanatheist.tv and click on the yellow button, like you hear every week.
I believe we also had Rick from Elma, one of our other regular donors.
Fantastic. Also Rick from Elma. I didn't see that in my notes. All my fault. But I'm not really too worried that we didn't get a lot of people meeting Peggy's Challenge this week, because this is the week after our 24-hour streamathon, where we try to entertain you for 24 hours straight, actually here in this room. Our goal was pretty high, and we met and we exceeded that goal. In fact, it was our most successful fundraiser ever, and as a result, you guys are talking in the new microphones today.
Yes, it's all fancy and stuff. Tell me, world, how do I sound?
Yeah.
Do you actually sound as gold-plated as Rush Limbaugh might?
I want a gold-plated RE20.
Oh, boy. So, last week, we had a pre-recorded episode, and it was a pretty momentous pre-recorded episode because, you know, we weren't expecting to get that interview. We didn't know it was going to be that Andrew from Mars Hill.
Yes.
And the interview went from 15 minutes to 55. Just a bit of an overshoot.
Just a bit, yeah. And it was fascinating. Like, hearing him tell his story, it was quite an experience.
Yeah, it was definitely a story that needed to be heard.
Yeah.
So we decided to take the whole interview with that, and then this week we would do something different. Or this week we would do the material that we thought we would do last week. And back in season 3, we did an episode called Cults 101, mm-hmm. which is where we went down the list of what makes a cult a cult. I will once again say that the word cult is not a professional term.
Right.
Like, people who think about these things and people who deal with these things.
You're talking social scientists and psychologists.
Yeah.
And
generally avoid the word cult. But honestly, as I said last week, I can't think of anything else that fits quite here.
So what word did they use?
I'm not even certain anymore.
Okay.
There's a lot of debate over it. I've heard destructive groups, but that was mostly in the 90s. I think they've moved on from that phrase.
Well, I want to say when I was doing some research, I saw a lot of discussion about abusive leadership groups and abusive communities. Coercive communities. Yeah, that sort of.
But given that we're not a research paper, I'm okay with cults.
Cult.
Yeah. So what we end up with is, you know, there's a list. There's a checklist of what makes a cult a cult. And I thought we would take the first segment and sort of go down the line of the Mars Hill Church.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know, check out the news. And Mars Hill is a evangelical, charismatic Christian sect that is based here in the Pacific Northwest, specifically up in Seattle, with churches all over, I'm pretty sure they're charismatic, all over the country. And basically what happens is Mark Driscoll, the leader of the church, records a sermon here in Seattle, and then DVDs or network connections are sent to other places.
It's a live signal he sends out.
Okay, so he's basically the big giant head.
Yeah, he's simulcast Big Brother into all of his other churches.
Exactly.
And online, too. If you go to the church website, they've got countdowns. You can watch us in 4 hours and 36 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's talk about the Mars Hill Church. I'm gonna do a checklist, and then you guys can give me some examples of when Mars Hill meets this.
Okay.
And the first one is, the group displays excessively zealous and unquestioning commitment to its leader, and whether he is alive or dead, regards his belief system, ideology, and practices as the truth, as law.
Okay, so here's the thing about Mark Driscoll. Right now, he had his forced hiatus, right? Because a lot of church elders actually started saying, you know what, we actually are getting back on this excessively zealous and questioning commitment to our leader. But there are supporters. And so in August, at the end of his hiatus, and he came back with a DVD pre-recorded sermon, you had these Facebook updates and these status updates and these messages going out that were saying, hey, next Sunday, our message to Pastor Mark isn't just that we're supporting him because he's a blessing to us, but because we are like him, totally dependent on Jesus. So even in the midst of a lot of these sort of reorganization, hey, Pastor Mark, you need to take a break. You're messing things up too much. You still have these followers that are excessively, supportive of him. An interesting thing was that this whole message was, hey, this isn't about Pastor Mark. Bring your Bibles to church next Sunday. And then they kept saying, Pastor Mark has Bibles. Pastor Mark has Bibles in his car. Pastor Mark this, Pastor Mark that. It's very creepy sort of wording in a lot of the followers.
Yeah. Right. It's just reinforced that he is never wrong.
Right. So the next one is questioning, doubt, and dissent are discouraged or even punished.
Yeah, if you look in the Mars Hill, and we go back a lot to this, the covenant that they make you sign to become a member, it says stuff like, I have read and understood the Mars Hill doctrinal statement and will not be divisive to its teaching. I also understand the importance of submission to the church leadership and will be diligent to preserve unity and peace. So, you know, the way they think of this is just like the Bible's true and the church is equally true. You don't question. Questioning what the church says is a sin to
them. Yeah. Now, this one's kind of special because the way they say it, the way it in the covenant, it's all prettied up. It sounds like, okay, it's important that we all get along.
This is for unity and peace.
This is for unity and peace. And you know what? I'm for unity and peace. But they will take it a step further. Like for about 5 months in 2008...
These were some women's ministries, some people that were working in the women's ministry.
They talked about growing concerns, and then the church canceled the membership of everyone with complaints, saying they could only rejoin if they didn't have any problems with the elders?
No, if they articulated that we have no problems with any of our elders.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so there's your punishment right there.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you fall out of line, you're punished for it. So the next one is mind-altering practices such as meditation, chanting, speaking in tongues, denunciation sessions, and debilitating work routines are used in excess and serve to suppress doubts about the group and its leaders. So you guys didn't have any examples for this one.
Yeah, we couldn't find anything specific because, you know, usually when you think about this, you think about, you know, using drugs or using some sort of like hardcore mind control when it comes to cults. And for them, it's more just kind of an underlying sort of they really push the idea that the church is right. It's like we were discussing
right.
in the last
podcast. I think denunciation sessions was a part of what happened last week, and I would hold that up as an example of meeting this point.
I think a lot of the mind-altering practices that has become evident that Mars Hill employs are really the psychological and emotional mind-altering sessions.
And so the next one is, the leadership dictates, sometimes in great detail, how members should think, act, and feel. For example, members just must get permission to date, change jobs, marry, or leaders prescribe what types of clothes to wear, where to live, whether or not to have children, how to discipline children, all of those things. Like they basically try to enforce a very specific lifestyle on the constituents of the group.
Oh man,
Andrew Lamb's
do this.
Andrew Lamb's story last week is an exemplar of that. But so much of what Mars Hill Church does is based off of that kind
of
stuff.
And when you go back to the membership covenant, it says, "I covenant to submit to discipline by God through His Holy Spirit, to follow biblical procedures for church discipline in my relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ, to submit to righteous discipline when approached biblically by brothers and sisters in Christ, and to submit to discipline by church leadership if the need should ever arise." They're not allowed to go outside of the church for any problems. They need to accept the church's authority. The church's counsel, the church's permission.
So what this means, if you have a problem with the church, you have to go to the church to get it solved, and you can't look for any sort of actual arbitration,
and not just problems with the church, but problems in your life. If you and a girlfriend are having a breakup, then you need to go to the church and
last week was a great exemplar of that.
Example.
But what I'm saying here is that if you have a problem with the church and with the church leadership, the only person you can appeal to is the church leadership. The church leadership is the person you have a problem with, and then the person who decides whether or not your problem has merit.
Yeah.
There's no way to get fair arbitration in a situation like that.
Not at all. And we'll see a little bit of that later on with some of the cult indicators. One thing that's really interesting, though, in all of these covenants is that they chapter and verse all of them. They say, we're justified in having you sign to all of these things because it's scripturally
based. Now, they demand complete chastity before marriage, refrain from illegal drug use, drunkenness, and other sinful behaviors. You know, that's chapter and verse Christianity, fundamentalist Christianity in 2014. You know, and then should I sin in such a manner, I agree to confess my sins to Christian brothers or sisters and seek help to put my sin to death, which...
Any problem I have, I'm going to go to the church.
Yeah.
They make you promise that you're going to go to them first.
Yeah, and then it enforces tithing. Again, this is pretty chapter and verse, American Christianity 2014, but the way it's enforced in Mars Hill is very much there's shunning practices. It's enforced in a very strict way within the confines.
Very regimented, very, you know, rigorous. And the one that always gets me about tithing in general is here, in order to be a true member, you know, you can come to services without signing the covenant, but in order to be a true member, a true believer, become a covenanted member, which is a binding agreement. And then on tithing, it says, including your time, talents, and treasure, it shall be sacrificial, cheerful, and voluntary. Here, sign this unvoluntary thing, and then give voluntarily.
Right. So they're demanding not only that you give them money, but they're demanding the way you must feel when you do it.
Exactly.
You need to smile while doing it.
So the group is elitist, claiming a special exalted status for itself, its leaders, and members. For example, the leader is considered the Messiah, a special being, an avatar, or the group and the leader is on a special mission to save humanity. Again, this is something that happens almost in every church in the United States to some extent, but within Mars Hill.
The introduction to the covenant is God in his sovereignty placed us in this city among these people in this century for a reason. You are special because of this thing. Like, okay, it was Seattle, or if you're in the Albuquerque branch, you're in Albuquerque in 2014 in order to do this, to talk to these people.
Yeah. And, he does a lot. Mark Driscoll himself does a whole lot of sort of tearing down any other religious style. Like, his is so right. If you look at some of these other quotes we have, and I want to, as a quick note, we have changed some of the words to make them safe for radio. So when I say Simonize, just think of probably the worst thing. But he says, we live in a completely Simonized nation. We could get every man, real man, as opposed to Simonized James Dobson, knockoff, crying, promise-keeping, homoerotic, worship-loving, mama's boy, sensitive, emasculated, neutered, exact male, replica, evangelifish, and have a conference and a phone book.
I find it interesting that he finds James Dobson homoerotic. Moving on! The group has a polarized us-versus-them mentality, which may cause conflict within the wider society.
Well, there you go right there, slamming other evangelists, right? You're not working with who ostensibly to an outsider might be considered your brethren. But in the covenant, it says, we covenant to be on guard against false teachers.
Right.
They say, hey, watch out, because other religious people that are claiming to be Christian, claiming to be evangelical, claiming to be down with Jesus, they're false. They're false prophets. They're false teachers.
That's also strict informational control, which may or may not be on here, is that the only good information you can get is within the contents of the church. The leader is not accountable to any authorities, unlike, for example, teachers, military commanders, ministers, priests, monks, I would challenge that, of mainstream religious denominations.
Yeah, he set up the entire system so that he doesn't actually have to answer to anyone. Like, this force hiatus isn't really even that force. It's just time for the people that he put in place to decide that what he did is fine.
Well, and that's what's so shocking, that so many people think, wow, can Mars Hill really weather this? Because right now you have a tremendous number of elders, his sort of sub-leaders, that are calling him to task. And the church, this whole church structure doesn't allow for that.
Yeah.
Right. So when your structure doesn't allow for that and it starts happening, how can your organization survive? I mean, yes, he's not accountable to any authorities because for everyone, they've got a covenant that the 66 books of the Bible are the ultimate doctrinal authority on all matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to pull that aside for a second, these groups like this, where they say, unlike ministers, priests, monks, and rabbis of mainstream religious organizations, that is the official description. But honestly, if I'm talking about what I think, I think people who study these sorts of groups have to do a lot of mental gymnastics in order to not make the venerable cults look like cults.
Yeah.
They're trying to look for a definition that excludes...
That separates Catholicism.
Catholicism.
Methodists.
Yeah, Methodists. Yeah.
Mainstream Reform Judaism.
Yeah.
Shiite.
Islam. Yeah, all that, that tries to separate these from cults. Now, I am willing to say that there is a big difference between a group like Mars Hill and your Catholic diocese at the end of the street, but I'm going to say it's a matter of degree, not really a matter of what happens there.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, it's a question of how personal it is, you know.
Right.
The Catholic Church is never going to shun you for leaving the Catholic Church or break down your entire...
They'll do that, but like I said, it's a matter of degree. They're not gonna...
I don't think that they can. Like, they can't, not in the way like Scientologists or Mars Hill or Jehovah's Witnesses.
They're here in the United States, maybe. It's a little different in South America.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's so many flavors of Catholicism, the way that it's spread across the world, that each different sort of ethnic and cultural and national community, and the way that they practice their Catholicism might be significantly different.
Yeah.
So the next one is, the group teaches or implies that its supposed exalted ends justify whatever means it deems necessary. This may result in members participating in behaviors or activities they would have considered reprehensible or unethical before joining the group. Example, lying to family or friends, collecting money for bogus charities.
So a few months ago, we actually talked about when the donations to the Mars Hill International Fund were actually used to hire a consultant to artificially pump some sales of the book Real Marriage to get it on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah.
And then said people saying, oh, well, I gave that money cheerfully and voluntarily, and it does the church good anyway. So not really calling him on that, calling the church on that.
And, right.
And he gave a non-apology of, you know, I'm sorry you were offended, but the fact is that doing this to spread the word of Jesus is what's more important. So, you know.
The leadership induces feelings of shame and or guilt in order to influence and or control members. Often this is done through peer pressure and subtle forms of persuasion.
Subtle? The whole covenant isn't really super subtle.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Dave, you had some of those sexist rants that are certainly shame and guilt inducing. They're amazing.
Oh, yeah. They're just incredible.
We may have to post those in the show notes so that you can get an idea of what's happening here. But, I mean, come on. I mean, look at a Twitter feed. Look at a Facebook feed. You've heard about the stupid things that Mark Driscoll is saying lately.
Yes.
This shouldn't be a surprise. Subservience to the leader or group requires members to cut ties with family and friends and radically alter the personal goals and activities they had before joining the group.
Yeah, it's going back to the covenant. I will not function in leadership or as a member in another church or family. Like, you know, I think Andrew Lamb covered a lot of this, like how he was sort of ostracized from his own community and made, you know, was forced to make Mars Hill his only community.
The other aspect to it, the complementarianism, where women that have advanced degrees, they're basically said, all right, you need to give up your career, give up your job, you're a mother, you're here, you're subservient to your husband, because you have been deceived by Eve, and so anything you say is inherently untrustworthy.
Exactly. The group is preoccupied with bringing in new members.
Yeah, it's the pastors who are challenging Mars Hill have made it clear that he doesn't care about the members who are there. He only cares about bringing in more people, making the church bigger and bigger and bigger.
Exactly. The group is preoccupied with making money.
Man, there is a church-produced documentary on its own website that just glorifies how you had, like, oh, we came from nothing, we were broke, we're homeless, means you rented a storefront for $15,000 or, you know, a year or something like that. And they actually glorify these large sum gifts from these rich donors that helped you know sort of promote the idea that this is an innovative church and this is why people are giving and Jesus is motivating people to give us $200,000.
Yeah.
Started in 1996 in his living room. By 2010, the fiscal year, Mars Hill received $13 million in general giving. It owns $16 million in total net assets.
Right. Members are expected to devote inordinate amounts of time to the group and group-related activities. You guys don't have any examples of this, but I mean, if you noticed from the Andrew Lamb interview and from talking to people who go to Mars Hill, you're there a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes up a lot of your time.
And they have it split into these minor communities, these small groups that you have to devote your time to. And
Yeah, which bleeds into the next one. Members are encouraged or required to live and or socialize only with other group members.
Yeah, it's part of the covenant is I've read the mission statement and I commit to participate in the mission as a diligent, faithful disciple of Jesus, that my identity would be in him, my worship would be him, my fellowship would be through him. That means everything you do, your whole life is centered around the Jesus that Mars Hill celebrates.
Right.
It says my interaction with the culture would be for his glory.
So, and for people who are more likely to listen to this podcast, this last one might be the most germane. The most loyal members, the true believers, feel that can be there no life outside the context of the group. They believe there is no other way to be and offer fear reprisals to themselves or others if they leave or even consider leaving the group.
Yeah, it's if you look online, there are so many. All the blogs about Mars Hill are people escaping and talking about how difficult it is to escape. The fact that you need a support group to leave a church is a sign that that church is really damaging.
Yeah.
We hear stories of women attending support groups in secret. We had Andrew that was always encouraged to only find counsel in church members.
Right.
I mean, you have no means if you leave.
So we're going to go to a break, and we're going to go through a little bit of a time machine. We had other material we had recorded that we were going to play last week, which we have a very fun interview and a news story, and we will see you after that. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. See you in the future.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide $1 billion in your locker.
Wow, $1 billion?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
A Path Less Taken, From Ministry to Non-Belief and Beyond, is a provocative new documentary produced by Axis Mundi Media that features in-depth interviews with Calvin King, Annalise Fonza, Teresa McBain, and Rich Lyons, all former Christian ministers who are now avowed atheists. A Path Less Taken is available now on DVD or digital download from Amazon.com.
Author Jim Lawrence's In the Flip-Flops of Jesus is a blasphemous behind-the-scenes look at the Christian movie business of 1950s Hollywood. When young Randy Dillard hires on at a religious film company, he learns the screenwriter is a blacklisted atheist, the key grip produces stag films, the denominational reps are gambling addicts, and the producer of the Living Savior series is Jewish. Author Jim Lawrence's In the Flip-Flops of Jesus is available in hardcover, paperback, and ebook.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to Ask an Atheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@askanatheist.tv.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month, we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
The U.S. Air Force recently announced that now it will allow both enlisted members and officers to admit the word "so help me God" from enlistment and officer appointment oaths if an airman chooses. The move comes after an airman was denied reenlistment because he did not recite the oath verbatim, which included the religious sentiment. The American Humanist Association's Legal Center drafted a letter on behalf of the anonymous airman, and even right-wing Christians such as Reverend Gordon Klingenschmitt and the American Family Association General Counsel Patrick Vaughn agreed that requiring soldiers to take the oath verbatim violated the U.S. Constitution.
Wow. This is so cool. Like, it's so simple, but the fact that Gordon Klingenschmitt, of all people, came out and said, you know what, I agree with the atheists, you shouldn't force him to say it.
Well, when you come from a religion where oaths are actually an important thing that happen, I mean, I sort of follows, yeah, let's not force the atheists to take oaths so that we can easily spot them when they, you know. Right. I don't want to pretend that isn't a part of it, but, you know, we are talking about, rights, so it's nice to find us on the same side for once, I guess.
And maybe there's a little bit about, like, if they come from a religious background that values oaths, maybe what they're trying to do is be like, well, we don't want to make this guy an oath breaker just to keep his job. Right, we don't want people here who are willing to break oaths. The fact that he's going to come out and be honest about this and maybe even get in trouble about it just to avoid lying is maybe respectable from that position.
Yeah, it says a lot about his character.
And it would certainly weaken the case for evangelization if you're talking about, you need to pray the sinner's prayer, which is, if you think about it,
it's an oath, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then say, oh, yeah, all those oaths you gave before, they don't matter, but this one matters. I can see how it weaken their case, but this is just good news.
It is
good news.
I do want to throw out, we usually give credit where credit is due, and I give credit to Gordon Klingenschmitt, which I never thought I would say, but it says in here that the American Family Association's General Counsel agreed with us, but I want to make it clear. Did you hear what what Brian Fisher had to say?
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, what did he have to say?
Atheists should not be allowed in the military.
Of course he did.
That was his take.
Because that's what he does. That's his deal.
I think he's hanging on to the atheists and foxholes thing. You know, apparently there have never been any there. Why should there be any there now?
Yeah.
His old-fashioned. He's a military Luddite.
I just want to make sure we didn't accidentally give any credit to Brian Fisher because that guy is horrible.
Right. Of course.
Maybe he wants us to still fight with swords. Can we do that? Can we go back to sword fighting? I feel like that would be.
I don't think so.
I mean, on a personal level, much messier, but on a grand scheme, less messy.
How do you...
Swords don't go off by accident.
How do you get a sword on a drone, though?
Huh.
Stop it. Ah,
and if it was a drone with a sword, wouldn't it just be a golem? It ceases to be a golem when you give it a machine gun. That's when it becomes a dangerous robot. But as long as it's got a sword, it's just a golem.
Fair enough.
I mean, it even has quote unquote text in its quote unquote head. I mean, that's, right? I mean,
oh, right. Okay. Right? Yeah. Sorry. That took me a minute.
Hey, there you go.
Compiled text.
Text. It tells it who it is and what it does, right?
Right, exactly.
There's nowhere in the description of a golem does it say that text can't be ones and zeros.
Yeah, fair point. It does not say that.
All right. Stephanie Drury is the creator of the popular Stuff Christian Culture Likes blog, as well as numerous other blogs and podcasts. She is also the person behind the Fake Driscoll Parody Twitter account. How are you doing today, Stephanie?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic.
So we've been talking a lot about Mars Hill today, and we've known that you've been a really vocal critic of them for quite a good time. How did that get started? Like, where did you first decide to start speaking out against Mark Driscoll and the church?
It started probably in 07 when I was in group therapy with other women, and a couple of them had gone to Mars Hill, or they were still members, and what they were being told was making them really depressed and anxious, and they had been pressured to quit their jobs and get married and breed, basically.
Ooh,
and
nice.
They had, you know, degrees, and they were sad that they weren't using their degrees and working like they had been before they had all these kids, and they were very depressed, you know, postpartum stuff and just spiritual, emotional stuff, I think, because they were told by the Mars Hill counselors, you should just pray harder and submit more to your husband. And it was just making them crazy. And they heard about this group, and they're like, I can't tell anyone from my church that I'm going to this group because I'd get in trouble, because as a Mars Hill member, I'm not allowed to have outside counseling that they didn't approve of. And I'm like, what? So that's when it really became a big deal for me, because I'm like, that's a good way to destroy these children, the whole entire family, these women, you know. But, I mean, it can't be good for the man, the dad, but he's getting kind of a free ride in a way. So it just seemed really twisted, and a lot of people were being affected.
So have you met Mark Driscoll or had any direct interaction with him?
I haven't ever met him or had direct interaction, aside from his, you know, his minions emailing me a couple times, like when the fake Driscoll started. Like within a few days, I got this email, and it was, you know, from a Mars Hill higher up person, and you know, using all this kind of legal language about how I was allowed to have this parody account. It was legal for me to do it, but I just had to make sure it was clear it was fake. And I just wrote back, I'm like, it's called fake Driscoll. I don't know what else you want me to do. Just very paranoid, you know.
Well, let's speak hypothetically for a moment. If you had the opportunity to sit down with Mark Driscoll and his inner circle, what would you want to talk about?
I'd go, you guys, you haven't grieved your story. What happened to you early in life? You know, and, you know, it wouldn't go anywhere. Like, I don't think they'd know what to do with me if I sat down with them.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, I have an idea of how any conversation between me and some Mars Hill folks would go, and I imagine it'd be something of a one-way conversation.
There you go. Yeah. I have a feeling that's kind of how all their conversations go with everybody.
But, you know, you have had a lot of interactions with people from Mars Hill. Have you had, you know, have you run into people on the street or outside of the support group, you know, asking you about the fake Driscoll account or your comments about Mars Hill generally?
Well, it's funny, like a week or two ago, I was walking to the bus. It was like kind of by City Hall in downtown Seattle. And this woman at the stoplight, she's like, I know who you are. And Mark Driscoll will be exonerated. And I was like,
wow, that's some Scientology level stuff.
I go, you just look exactly like Kurt Vile, the guy from War on Drugs. And she, I mean, I'm sure she didn't know who he was. But I'm like, has anyone ever told you that? Because she did. I mean, he's this pretty guy with those beautiful hair. So anyway, but that, I mean, people from who have left Mars Hill usually will get in contact with me, or if they're kind of questioning, I hear from a lot of those people kind of telling me stuff. They're like, I've gone to this church for a long time. We're just putting up with everything. And I'm getting fed up. So I'm kind of a gateway drug out, I think.
So the fake Driscoll account, which is hilarious. It's a lot of fun to follow. What kind of reaction have you gotten from that, both outside the church? Well, and of course, there's the, you know, official reaction of
the fake CD. But
what sort of reaction do you get from other people from that?
People seem to like it. What I kind of try to go for is to offend people. Like, I really like it when they're like, I thought you were funny, but that was just over the line, you know, so I'll repeat that, you know. I just like it when they, because I think right after Mark Driscoll went on his hiatus, I'm like, who's got a bunch of paid vacation? This guy. And then, you know, two thumbs pointing at penis is what I put. And then, I mean, like four or five guys are like, uh-uh, that was just too much. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen anything I'm capable of. Just basically a lot of support.
Yeah.
nothing too brutal about my fake Driscoll stuff.
So one of the sort of main questions in this conversation we're having that we kind of are driving towards, and I'd like to get your opinion, is it comes down to this. Is Mars Hill a cult?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
100%.
What differentiates it from any other sort of standard church?
It's the cult of personality situation and the mind control they have going on. Because if you talk to anybody who's in Mars Hill, they're like, why would you say that? I was at a Dave Bazan show last year. I was at the Neptune, and I'm sitting in the, you know, it was up in the balcony, and I was like talking with some guy, like, oh, Mars Hill sucks. And because we knew some Mars Hill people had to have been there. We're like, these people all look like they go to Mars Hill. So we're like, let's talk about Mark Driscoll. And so someone, sure enough, this row guys in front of us turn around. They're like, you know, in their 20s. They're like, why would you not like Mark Driscoll? Why? Like, it was just so clear. It's like this reverence. Like, you couldn't even, you know, that, I don't know if you saw that Vice documentary about North Korea, but they didn't have a word to doubt their leader.
Right.
Like, that wasn't a concept in their culture. So.
Yeah, it's fairly well known about my interest in North Korea, and boy howdy have I seen that Vice documentary one. So I'm always a little it's sort of like the Godwin's law of cults is comparing a cult to North Korea, but apparently in some ways it actually works then.
Well, I've been watching the Jonestown documentaries for a couple of years, just whenever one will come up on Netflix, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, this just seems so much like how, you know, the standing applause when the senator goes down to try to rescue them, and he's like, well, I think you guys actually seem like a good group, and just like the uncomfortably long, forced, brainwashed applause, I'm just like, why am I getting all these Mark Driscoll vibes? There's got to be a reason, so... Yeah, I would say the level of mind control, the allegiance of the followers, the way that they're all just in it, like your lifestyle, how they all use the same language, you know, any kind of challenging thought is completely shut down, cut off right away. I hear a lot of stories of that. If anything is questioned, you're like, oh, I guess you're not a true member, a true believer. And that's straight up cult mentality right there.
Wow. So, I mean, obviously there's some kind of draw to this cult. There's something that's pulling people in, but what would you say to someone who's considering joining Mars Hill? How would you try to talk them out of it?
I wouldn't try to talk them out of it. I think I would just pose questions. Do you know what they believe? Do you know that this is what Jesus actually said, and this is what they're saying Jesus said? You know, do you know what they believe about women? Do you know that they believe that women are like Eve? They were deceived and shouldn't say anything. Do you know that you're supposed to quit your job if you're a woman? You know, like, you know, all this going in, and that's okay. You know, I did have a good friend who she knew very well about my Mark Driscoll aversion, and then she started going to Mars Hill, and, you know, where everyone was concerned. I think she's okay now. I haven't talked to her since this Mark Driscoll stuff has hit the fan, but I just remember we were kind of like, I told her, I'm like, I'm here. I'm not mad at you for going. I'm, you know, if you need to talk about anything, that's fine. You know, she's like, I was really afraid you'd be mad at me. I'm like, I just want you to be okay, you know? So.
Yeah, that's really important, is because, I mean, I know people who go to Mars Hill, and I've had friends go to similar, you know, institutions in Arizona, and just transmitting the message that you may not agree, but you're not angry with them, and you want to be there for them. That can be difficult at times.
Yeah, and I think it's especially important thing, because sort of the cult mentality is to separate you from the rest of your community. So being available for somebody going in, just making it very clear, it's like, no matter what happens, I'm your friend. I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
That could be incredibly helpful.
Yeah, I could understand, too, because she had, you know, a relationship had ended, and she was a young mother, and I'm like, she needs support, like, and this seems like a good place, so as long as she, you know, I was sympathetic to her, too, so, but also extremely concerned.
Yeah, I've always found when I stumble on Facebook and a friend of mine posts about how they're going to Mars Hill now, and I'm like, but you seem so normal. You never struck me as the type who would go there.
I know, I think that's how it starts.
Mm-hmm. It's like normal finding out they were people. Dead.
But no way, I just saw them yesterday. I can't, but no.
Yeah.
So, do you have any advice for people who are trying to get away from the church? Because I know sometimes that can be difficult, maybe a little bit easier with a fallout now, but, you know, for a long time, it's...
Yeah, if they are, you know, if you're trying to get out, if you're having thoughts of getting out, and if you've been really involved, you're going to feel really guilty for wanting to leave. That will be the first step. So they're going to have to, that's like, we can't really do anything to get them there. But once they start questioning, I have a ton of people at the Facebook page I run, Stuff Christian Culture Likes. A lot of people, we talk about Mars Hill every day on there. And I get a lot of people saying, this is about Christian culture. Would you please stick to your description and not talk about Mark Driscoll so much? I'm like, well, now you just got Mark Driscoll for the rest of the day. Sorry. Apologize to the class because I'm just going to post pure Mark Driscoll for 24 hours. So we talk about it a lot on there. A lot of people are former Mars Hill members on there. And just getting out has, I know, that just the community, just knowing that other people have gotten out and were able to think differently has really helped a lot of people. So any chance you can get, you know, the online stuff is easier than in person these days. So, I just keep thinking of the word community. You know, you find it with people who are going to support you and not shame you.
Yeah, and I just noticed that there's a lot of online support groups. There's the We Love Mars Hill, there's Mars Hill Refuge, and some other groups online that are worth visiting. And are you involved with any of those, or just...
Yeah, actually a member of of each of those.
Oh, good. All right.
Can you talk about some of them?
Yeah, they're fantastic. So lots of them are popping up. And do you know the statistics? I haven't been reading the past couple of days on what Mars Hill's looking like now, but I'm sure you guys were talking before I started listening in.
Yeah, I know they're cutting 30-40% of their staff and closing three churches, although they're still planning on opening the Spokane one, but they're closing three other ones.
Are the three ones, are they here in Washington?
There's the Phoenix one and two in Seattle.
Okay, all right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, that big, expensive, beautiful church they bought downtown. Is that the one they're closing out?
I'm not sure which is which. I want to say six of them are in the greater Seattle area, and I'm a Tacoma guy. I'm not sure which ones are which locations. Right. So.
Oh, gosh, I can't believe it. I'm so interested in what's going to happen in the next couple months.
Yeah. Me too. It's going to be very interesting to watch.
So, one last question. Do you think that the church could survive if Mark Driscoll is forced out?
I don't think they could. I was on John Roderick's show in May, and he was asking about this, and this was before the stuff hit the fan with Mark Driscoll, but I was talking about how Mark Driscoll has got it set so that he's at the top, and no one is going to step in and be able to take over if he's not at the top.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's just going to fall like a, you know, house of cards.
Yeah. All right.
Well, all right. Stephanie Drury, thank you very much for your call.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. That was an interview we did last week about the Mars Hill episode, or about Mars Hill Church, from Stephanie Drury, who is...
She runs the Stuff Christian Culture Likes blog. She runs the Fake Pastor Mark Twitter account. She's a pretty big blogger and longtime critic of Mars Hill.
What is this Stuff Christian like?
It's kind of fun. It's just little stuff that, you know, she notices that you see in Christian culture, things like the Christian side hug, and, you know, just kind of little thing, you know, T-shirts that rip off corporate logos and turn them into Jesus, and, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of fun.
Fantastic. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about where Mars Hill Church is now and where they're going.
Imagine tropical waters, warm sandy beaches, friendly people, incredible weather. The English-speaking Caribbean island nation of St. Lucia awaits. Don Summers and his team at Professional Realty Group are ready to assist you. Whether you're looking for an investment, a place to retire, or a killer vacation property, St. Lucia has homes in all price ranges starting at $110,000. Call Don at 780-237-4718 and check out dndrealty.ca.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com, where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
Maggie used to say, man, never stop fighting. Don't ever give up. And as I look out across this crowd right now, I'll tell you, I can see her face in every one of you. I can hear her voice every time you speak.
His name was Matthew Hoffman, the candidate. And though he didn't understand it now, years of inaction, deceit, and fear had formed a cancer. And now it would destroy him. AnnexRadio.com.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're talking about the Mars Hill Church this week, and we talked about how they stack up as a cult in the first segment. We had an interesting interview with a critic of the church in the second segment, but now we need to talk about, you know, we've done present, we've done past, now it's time to do future, and yeah.
Where
from
are they?
Here to there. Where are they going?
Where are they going? It's interesting because there's been a lot of fallout coming over, especially the past few months. Things have just, they've all kind of fallen apart. And when you look at, like, one of the first things that happened is that there's a group called Acts 29, which is a sort of group of church, it's a church planning organization. And Mark Driscoll helped found this group, and they voted to toss the church out. They decided they don't want to be a part of Mars Hill anymore. So, it's just like, we're done. You know, this guy's crazy.
It's kicked out of your own club.
Yeah, it's kind of a big blow to him. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing also. There's just so much structure that doesn't allow for any kind of questioning, doesn't allow for any kind of transparency. And so it really took, I think, a critical mass of not just members who were maybe disenfranchised once they left, who were made to feel guilt and shame, but elders. And I think the huge thing, they tried to have a restructuring in 2007 with elders, when it went from a lot of elders to just a small group of close confidants. And so you had sort of that first wave of escapees, so to speak.
Yeah.
And a lot of these elders are still religious. They're still Christians. They're still followers of Jesus. They're still, you know, they have their own church communities, but just not in line with Mark Driscoll. Now you have a huge critical mass. You have a lot of journalism and blogging that's being done to expose some of this and bring some of this to light, which I think gives some validity to the people that have sort of always felt this level of discomfort.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And when you look, especially in a very public sense, recently there was 21 former pastors who wrote a letter to the church basically outlining the bullying culture that Mark Driscoll's created and why he needs to go, and why they're saying for the church to survive, it can't be run by Mark Driscoll anymore.
I think one of the people that's really brought a lot of this to light in a really detailed form is actually Reverend Throckmorton. He blogs on the Patheos Network, but certainly The Stranger, which is one of our local Seattle sort of free papers, their blog has come out with a lot of different things. Seattle PI.
What exactly is Reverend Throckmorton doing on... And yeah, I'm talking about Reverend Throckmorton, not asking atheist.
Yeah, Warren Throckmorton. He's basically, as far as I can tell, chronicling anything that he's highly critical of the church.
Right.
He's chronicling it in blog post after blog post. There were 22 blog pages just alone tagged with Mars Hill or Mark Driscoll.
That's an interesting thing. If you're going to be critical about religion and you need data about certain religions, often it's going to be people from other religions or people from other, actually, like this intramural stuff. From within Christianity, that this is something that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, there are critics of Christianity within Christianity.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that makes that I will not participate in any other church family so insidious. It's saying, because he knows. I mean, Mark Driscoll knows, and the founders of Mars Hill know that if you start looking into other churches, you're going to get bad ideas about this church.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. The last thing Driscoll wants his flock to find out is that there might be a better way of doing things. So, I mean,
I know he's on this 6-month paid hiatus right now. Man, I
vacation.
Yeah, I'd love me some 6 months paid hiatus. Is he on his way out? I mean, this is the thing about cults. Is he on his way out? Is this going to be a time of change for Mars Hill Church? Or is Mark Driscoll the L. Ron Hubbard of Mars Hill, and he won't ever not be a part of it even after he dies?
It's really tough to say. I know that when you look at the organization, they're hemorrhaging money like crazy.
Right.
They've fired, 30 to 40% of their staff recently. They're closing down branches. I think the Phoenix branch just renamed themselves.
They named themselves the Phoenix Church,
because
that's what you do in Phoenix.
Rising from the ashes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Tired of that metaphor.
Basically, they just cut themselves off. They're like, okay, we're done. You know,
yeah.
You guys do what you have to do, but we're going to be our own.
And that's not unheard of in denominations in general. I mean, you have, we're going to go independent, basically, and if the people there still have sort of a core group of folks. Now, it would be interesting to see whether these former Mars Hill chapters sort of stick to an even more exaggerated form of the Mars Hill thing, or become more moderate and say, you know what, no, I think that you can go see your psychologist, and hey, lady, you can have only 2 kids and stop there, and then you can
maybe have a job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I think an interesting parallel is when you look at the Mormon Church, because there are a lot of, you know, there is the main Mormon Church, the sort of corporate identity that is
the Mormon
Mormonism.
Mothership, yeah.
But then there's also a lot of FLDS churches, these fundamentalist splinter groups that say, no, there was always supposed to be polygamy. No, there was, you know, we weren't supposed to allow blacks to be preachers, and they break off and create their own little communities, and these FLDS churches are spread all over the country, sometimes maybe as small as a single family, sometimes a couple hundred members, sometimes even a town. And so now I'm wondering, will Mars Hill splinter like that, and maybe Mark Driscoll will have his own splinter group?
That's a common path for religions like this one, or for sects like this one.
Yeah, and then is the Mars Hill mothership going to slowly move away and become more mainstream and more palatable
right.
so that they can have more influence?
So Mark Driscoll, you're positing, may become the Warren Jeffs of, of Mars Hill, of Mars Hill Christianity.
All right, on a more
hopefully not.
On a more personal note, do you think Mars Hill will leave Tacoma and let that building do something useful? Like, I don't know, house cars?
It's a pretty building.
I know.
One of the things is, was that Catholic church? Because it looks like...
I don't think it was a Catholic church.
A very Gothic
style. I think
style.
It was Episcopalian. I don't know.
It was a Protestant denomination.
I know Nick went. Nick was involved with that church once upon a time.
Oh, really?
When it was not a Mars Hill church.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he has good stories about that one.
I don't think there's ever going to be anything but a church in that building, but it's a very pretty building, and
I would like
a more palatable church.
What about a humanist center?
That's, ooh. I mean, there are empty churches out there, and they would make good humanist centers, so I do keep my eye open on stuff like that.
Inaugural Sunday Assembly happened in Seattle this morning.
Oh, did it?
Oh, yes, it did.
Oh, and I'd love to hear about that. So, those Seattle Sunday Assembly folks, I guess get in contact with me, I'll get in contact with you, I'd like to hear how that went.
But hey, you know, one of the, a Sunday Assembly, you might find that there's a big old former Mars Hill church just empty, already has a big screen, already has a big screen ready to DVD or karaoke, anything you want.
Sound equipment for some quality alternative music.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Sanderson?
When Sanderson was here, what was the song that he had everybody sing? Was it Don't Stop Believing?
I think it was Living on a Prayer.
Living on a Prayer.
Yeah. Okay, yep.
Yeah. Big fan of irony. Yeah. I think is what's going on there.
Well,
yeah.
That was also, we had Chase's birthday party at Came Quest Northwest.
And that was Don't Stop Believing. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. What was the other song? There was something else too.
Friends in Low Places.
Yes, the generic standard for karaoke. Yep.
But, you know, speaking of music, I think, have you guys ever driven past a Mars Hill or gone into a Mars Hill church?
I've never been in one.
Because it's right over there, but it looks like any other church because they bought any other church.
So the U District one, the University of Washington, where I had attended, I sort of stumbled past it as I was getting lost one day, and I heard all of this rock music, and I was like, why is the rock music coming? Oh, it's them. They've got all their jeans and frosted tips and spiked hair and button-down shirts.
So, a lot of people like to think of the Pacific Northwest as, you know, it is a very secular place. Now they're saying one person in three. I mean, they're starting to talk like that, aren't they?
Is unaffiliated or without a religious belief. Yeah. Not necessarily doesn't believe in God.
And that's a Pew Research poll. Mm-hmm. You know, is that people see the Pacific Northwest as very secular because you've got places like Portland and Vancouver and Seattle and actually here in Tacoma.
One in three millennials, I think, is...
Oh, okay, got it.
Nationwide.
Great. But we have the rural-urban divide just like anybody else, and you have the panoply of beliefs just like we have anywhere else. So there's stuff like this that happens in the Pacific Northwest. You've got the Mars Hill Church. You've got Ramtha down, you know, just down the street. And there is kooky religion everywhere. I collect this stuff. I'm into propaganda, what have you. But when it gets destructive... You know, it's fun to watch, but when it gets destructive, we have to talk about it. And Mars Hill has been destructive for a long time, and it's been in people's minds recently. And I think now is a good opportunity to explain piece by piece why Mars Hill is not a group, really, more than, say, certain other groups, really is not good and is something that very special attention needs to be paid to.
It's destructive, and now it seems like it's on a path to self-destruction, really. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with it.
I think the key thing is the ostracization.
Ostracization. Yeah.
Thank you. But the way that it separates people from their communities, the way that they sort of make themselves the only available community for their members is where they're really damaging.
Exactly. And that's all the time we've got for today. My name is Sam Mulvey. I am the producer, and producing this episode with me this week was Rebecca Friedman. Thank you very much. My co-hosts were Dave Brulette, Becky Friedman, and Dan Lombardo. My guest was Stephanie Drury. Writing was Dave Brulette and Becky Friedman. She was all over this episode. You can go to askanatheist.tv. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv, or you can call us at 206-420-0997. Look for a new phone number next week. Look for us being live in Seattle next week. See you guys then.
In my car, hallucinations, I go real far, I don't care, cause I like Ramtha, he connects with me, cause we're spiritually the same person, like Jesus Christ to a Christian. Me and Ramtha always on that mission. When Ramtha wants to get high, I do too. So what do you do?